And our reading this morning is going to be in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. And if you're able, let us stand for the reading of God's word. And may we remember every time we read the word of God, it's as if Jesus is speaking directly to us. Verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The reading of God's word. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, may we hear, understand, and obey for the glory of your name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, what I hope for us to see this morning, that God does not call us into a life of isolated faith. God's favor leads us into the fellowships of favor, where there will be those whom God will use to enable us in the call he has given us. We all should have friends in Jesus in whom we can find guidance, balance, and strength for the race we are called. And before we jump right in, I want to give a little background, talk a little bit about what we covered last week, and we're going to start with verse 35 of Luke 1. Here we see Gabriel answering the question Mary had. Gabriel had told her that she was going to conceive and bear a son of the Most High. And out of confusion, not out of unbelief, but out of confusion, she asks, "How will this be, for I'm a virgin?" And the angel answers her, verse 35, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we see here, we're reminded that the Holy Spirit, the angel's telling her how, and how is the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow her. And then he explains that this child is going to be called holy, for he is the Son of God. And if that wasn't enough for the angel to tell Mary how it was going to happen, she gives her even more encouragement, even perhaps a direction for her next step. Elizabeth, who was called barren, has conceived a son in her old age. This is God, the angel saying, God is able to do this. Here's the power of God in your relative Elizabeth. And God is able to fulfill his promises and purposes by saying, God, with God nothing is impossible. So this is what Mary has heard. And she offers herself completely to the Lord by saying, let it be to me according to your word. And it simply says then the angel departed her. Well, when the angel departed her, Mary was now alone. Think about it. How do you go and tell someone that an angel came to you and told you you're going to be conceiving a child who's going to be the Son of God? She was alone, and I see her alone in three ways. First, she's alone in her experience. Who else does she know who was visited by an angel? She's also alone in her relationship with God, in that through the angel, God's telling her, you are a favored one. I am with you. Who else could she talk to who could say the same thing? And finally, in her calling, who else does she know who's been given a miraculous conception? Especially when the child she's carrying is God's son. So who does he turn to? How does she proceed? Well, we see this in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. We see that this phrase, she arose, this is often used as a identifier that something's about to happen. And we see that she is moving, though, with haste. It suggests that Mary has a sense of urgency and energy to do this. The word haste has this idea there's energy involved here. But before we go too far, I don't want to lose sight of something here. Elizabeth didn't live across the street. Mary was in Nazareth. Elizabeth and Zechariah lived in the hill countries of Judah. That was roughly southeast of Jerusalem. It was about an 80-mile trip. And in those days, that could have been a 4 to 5 day trip. It would be like you and I saying, oh, let's just go head out to Colorado or whatever. Back in 2001, we drove out to Kansas City, I believe. But no. St. Louis, thank you. I knew that. It was in Midway. So we did that in one day. That was like a 16-hour drive. We started at 3 o'clock in the morning. My family wasn't thrilled, but we did. It took her 4 to 5 days. Only to point this out that, yes, God had indicated to her about her relative Elizabeth. Sometimes, in order to fulfill what God's calling us to do, there's going to be a sense of inconvenience for us. There might be an expense, an effort on our part to take that next step. And Mary does it with a sense of urgency. And two things I see in these verses. Mary entering into the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth suggests to me she's going to be willing to submit to them. I mean, as we're guests in someone's home, don't we tend to recognize, well, obey the rules of the house, so to speak? And when she greets Elizabeth, I see that as her inviting Elizabeth into her life. Let's continue. Look what happens in verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see God at work here. Could an unborn baby recognize Mary's entrance with her voice? Do we get to choose when the Holy Spirit's going to come upon us? When we look at Scripture, it's God determining when the Spirit's going to come upon us and for how long. We recognize from Jesus telling us in chapter 3 of John, we don't know where the Spirit comes and where it goes. We only see that it's been there as it's moving through the trees. We see the branches moving. So too with those who are called to Christ. We're born again. We start seeing the fruit of our repentance showing forth as we have a desire for the ways of God, the desire to read His Word. When we look back a little bit further in Luke chapter 1, in verse 15, when Gabriel's talking to Zechariah, he says that this baby will have the Spirit upon him from the womb. And we see evidence of that here with him leaping at the sound of Mary's voice. I find it interesting, before she can say anything other than a greeting, God shares His presence. We see it in the baby that's in the womb of Elizabeth. We see it in Elizabeth. And I believe we see it in Mary as well. God's presence. It reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am among you." Elizabeth and Mary were coming together because of God's work in their lives. And God is demonstrating that He's sharing His presence. For you and me, brothers and sisters, this is the power of our fellowship. The source of our fellowship is the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, the presence of Christ as we gather in His name. It reminds me, our calls are never in a vacuum. Rather, our calls that God has given us are carried out within the fellowship of believers. You could say we're not lone rangers. I don't know if the younger ones understand who the Lone Ranger was, but we're not that. So what happens when the Spirit comes upon Elizabeth? Verse 42, And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." What are we learning here from Elizabeth's words by the Holy Spirit? I find it interesting. She refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. Remember when Jesus was asked a question, and in a good rabbinic fashion, he answers with the question, then why did David write, "The Lord said to my Lord"? He was referring to his descendants. How could he say, "The Lord said to my Lord"? And Elizabeth is doing it here with Mary. And notice it's my Lord. The Lord wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to know him, and he wants to know us. Obviously, as God, he knows us better than we know ourselves. But he wants us to have that personal relationship with him. We see that the unborn John the Baptist leaps for joy at the sound of Mary's greeting. It's as if he's already doing his work, trying to prepare the way of the Lord, letting his mother Elizabeth know who is here. Mary is blessed, for she believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her. Does that echo sound familiar to you? Someone believed, and it was what? Credited to him as righteousness. Genesis 15:6, speaking of Abram. To bless is to ask God to bestow divine favor onto someone. And the very words that are spoken have weight themselves. They have meaning. In the Jewish frame of mind, words did mean something. Not like today. We like to think, oh yeah, I forgive you. I didn't really mean that. We like that old saying, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Come on, we know that's not true. We can say things that can cut to someone's heart, whether for good or for evil. So words do mean something. And here, Elizabeth is speaking a blessing on her. In Genesis 24:1, it says, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." When we have God's favor, we can expect blessings. But I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel, because next week, our brother Edward gets to handle the subject of the suffering of favor. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you know there are times of trials and difficulties in the walk to help us grow into greater conformity of Christ, to fulfill whatever purposes God may be using us for. In Isaiah 51:2, it says, "Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him." Indeed, God blesses Abraham, and through Abraham all the nations are blessed in faith in Jesus Christ. God blesses Mary, and through her faithfulness, Jesus is able to complete what the Father wanted Jesus to do. In other words, you could say God blesses Mary, and through Mary, he's blessing us. And I'm not taking away what Christ has done. Mary is a human being, as you and I. I know some traditions of other Christians tend to venerate Mary to try and grasp and understand this miracle that happens here, that the Son of God is in the womb of this woman. But the reality is, she's just a Jewish young teenager chosen by God. He chose her. There was nothing inherent necessarily in Mary. He favored her. He enabled her to do what she was called to do. She's not greater than Jesus nor equal to him. But we can learn from her faithfulness as an example for us to learn from, to emulate. One other last point. I mentioned it, but I want to remind us. Up to this point, Mary hasn't said anything but a greeting. And yet we see what Elizabeth has shared by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what this meant for Mary to hear this out of Elizabeth's mouth? Elizabeth confirms God's call on Mary's life through the Holy Spirit. We see that Elizabeth speaks of Mary having a child, a fruit of her womb, that Mary's child is her Lord, echoing that God called, the angel said, it is the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Elizabeth echoes the same sentiments as Mary said that was spoken to Mary, that those words would be fulfilled. In other words, Elizabeth is focusing on Mary's faith. And I know our series is about Mary, but I want to take a moment and look at Elizabeth. Think about it. I almost made the sermon shorter. Take a moment to consider Elizabeth. She had been bearing her whole life the stigma of being barren. This was a significant thing in this culture. Then one day, some 6 months ago, her husband comes home from doing his service at the temple, not able to speak a word and yet having some excitement. We don't know how much, if all, Zechariah was able to somehow communicate to Elizabeth what was happening, but she did find herself pregnant. And I'm sure she had much joy in it, but it also makes a comment that she hid herself for 5 months. We don't know why, it just makes that statement. But I wonder, despite the joy of having this child finally, if she had questions. I mean, think about it. She may have even felt alone, because even though now she's with child, if she's trying to connect with her contemporaries, how can she connect, because they're now likely grandparents? Or how about connecting with the women who are having children now? Are they able to connect? She probably felt alone despite having this joy of carrying a child. So as Elizabeth, through the Holy Spirit, is confirming what Mary had heard, now Mary's going to respond and shares what God is going to be doing, not just for Elizabeth, not even just for Israel, we understand now, for all of us. But my point that I'm making here is the fellowship of favor is a two-way street. We encourage each other. There's going to be times I'm down and someone's going to encourage and build me up, and vice versa. It is a two-way street. Let us turn to Luke 1:46 now. It's known as Mary's Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She's praising God for what he is doing. I know you may read this and think she's talking about herself, but she's saying what God has done for her, is doing in her life. He is her Savior. She's focusing on God. How about you? In the course of your life, are you focusing on God? Do you rejoice that God is your Savior? Do you know him as your Savior? Mary's declaring that God has done great things for her, and she declares that God's name is holy, and she continues in verse 50, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." This is what God is looking for. He's looking for those who will fear him. This is not the fear that you get in watching a horror movie. No, it's not that kind of fear. It's an awe. It's an understanding of your place. It's like maybe if you work for a company, a large company, you get to meet the CEO. Maybe it's something like that to you. It's someone who has got much more authority in God. He's so much more in every attribute, isn't he? He's holy. He's pure. He's just. He's loving. And in all those attributes, he doesn't go into error like you and I do. When God gets angry, he does it in a righteous, holy way. You and I, we can get angry, and we do it in a selfish, ungodly way. And so we turn to him in reverence. We turn to him because we recognize we fall short of his expectations. We turn to him because we know we only have life through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you fear him? If you fear the Lord, you will receive mercy through his Son, Jesus Christ. She continues. And as she continues, she's now giving us a sense of God's justice and how he operates. In verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of a humble state. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." If we stop and think about that, we may think of exceptions. Certainly Proverbs and Psalms talk about how sometimes it seems like the wicked are the ones who are blessed. God does these things. Sometimes he does these things on this side of eternity, but ultimately anyone who is being brought down will be brought down at the judgment. This is who God is. He does see and he will act. And now she concludes with the promise of God that he made to Israel. And notice the past tense that's used in verse 54. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. What's she saying here? What's she referring to? It's a summary of God's promises to Abraham and the patriarchs. And one passage I think we can use is Psalm 98, verses 2 and 3. "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Mary is recognizing that her son will fulfill God's covenant with Abraham. Granted, the Jews may be expecting a more earthly salvation of restoring the nation and overseeing other nations. Not that God had come to take care of the problem that man can't solve, and that is our sin and our broken relationship with God. But that is what she's speaking to. The new covenant that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, verse 56. It simply says, "And Mary remained with her," that is Elizabeth, "about 3 months and returned home." I can see how these 3 months were fruitful for both. Again, the fellowship of favor is a two-way street. Mary helped Elizabeth and Zachariah in these last 3 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We know that as you get larger in pregnancy, it's a little bit harder to get things done, and particularly with Elizabeth being older. Certainly God could have given her grace and greater strength, but sometimes God has us in a more difficult place so that we can turn to others and turn to him more. We don't know, but Mary is certainly there to help. The flip side, Elizabeth could help Mary learn about running a household perhaps, and even together they're helping each other with their faith. Because of her fellowship with Elizabeth for 3 months, Mary was now ready to go home. She was likely around 3 months pregnant at this point. She was probably starting to show. And obviously Mary would have more to deal with. I think her time with Elizabeth was invaluable. Notice what these two women shared. They both had God's word. They knew God's word. We see that in as the Spirit speaks through them. They both were filled with the Spirit of God. But you know what else they needed? They needed each other. They needed that friendship and fellowship they had together. The same is for you and me. We need good friendships where we can build each other up in the Lord. And as a rule, women tend to be better at relationships than men. I know I can struggle at times in having a good friendship with someone else. We tend to be heads down doing our work so we can provide for our families. But we have a need for close relationships. We see this in Christ himself. We see in the New Testament where the one night Jesus spent the entire night in prayer. He may have done that elsewhere, but in this passage it talks about how he came down from his night of prayer and then he chose the 12 disciples. So many believe he spent that night seeking God's direction, who he should pick. But you know, it didn't stop there. Within the 12, there were three in a closer setting with Jesus: Peter, James, and John. They would be called, only those three were able to go in to see the healing of the one daughter, actually the raising her from the dead. or the Mount of Transfiguration. James, Peter, and John were there as well. But even with those three close disciples, there was one that was known as the one Jesus loved, John. John would not make a big thing of that. He kept that low key. But even Jesus had a series of circle of friendships to one who he felt even closer to. Oftentimes when we go through difficult situations, we tend to think what we're going through, no one else has. And we really do know that's not true, is it? The very time we need the help, we tend to close up, shut down. We need each other. That's when we need each other. God does not call us into a life of isolated faith. God's favor leads us into fellowships of faith, fellowships of favor, where there will be those whom God will use to enable us in the call he has given us. We should have friends in Jesus Christ in whom we can find guidance, balance, and strength for the race we are called. One question I'm going to leave with you before we close. In what area of your life do you need an Elizabeth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, you have blessed us so much. First and foremost, your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sin, and whom we're going to remember doing that in a moment when we do communion. But you've also given us your word in whom we can read. And you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us read, understand, and apply what we see in your word. But even that's not enough between the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of your Spirit, the gift of your word. You've given us the gift of the fellowship of believers. Father, I ask that you would help each of us with whatever we might be struggling with or having questions about, that we would reach out to a brother or sister, that we would have some close relationships that we can bear our souls with and can encourage us in the walk you've given each of us. Father, we thank you. And we ask that as we continue in this series about Mary, that your Spirit would help speak to us, for you have given each of us a call. Certainly you've given us the call of salvation, and we know that only through Christ Jesus, faith in him, can we have a relationship with you, Father. Father, we know though you may have specific calls for each of us. They may last a lifetime, or things could change as our seasons of life change, whatever. Help us to be open to your call, and may we be obedient. And Father, in faith, we know that you do not call us to something to fail. You call us and provide what we need through your word, by your Spirit, and through our brothers and sisters. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.